this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jesse Colhagen, and you're listening to The Life Note, Wherever You Go, There You Are, by Jon Kabat-Zinn and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. When we let go of wanting something else to happen in this moment, we are taking a profound step toward being able to encounter what is here now. In Wherever You Go, There You Are, Jon Kabat-Zinn thoughtfully teaches us how to go from our unconscious autopilot states to a way of living that is grounded in this very moment. This is both a timeless and very timely book as we increasingly seek calm in the storms of our daily, often chaotic lives. Jon Kabat-Zinn is considered a pioneer in bringing mindfulness and meditation training to a broader audience. In this Life Note, we'll explore mindfulness is conscious living, being here now, practicing mindfulness, it's simple but not easy, doing non-doing and non-judging, specifics of meditation practice, and an exploration of the book's theme, Wherever You Go, There You Are. The first big thought: mindfulness is conscious living. Be here now. Quote, we tend to be particularly unaware that we are thinking virtually all the time. The incessant stream of thoughts flowing through our minds leaves us very little respite for inner quiet. End quote. In the everyday hustle and scramble of our lives, it seems that we have forgotten to experience the present moment. Our minds are racing every which way, sometimes on the future, sometimes on the past. We are everywhere but here. The term mindfulness is increasingly becoming mainstream, and that's probably because we're sick and tired of feeling stressed out and imbalanced. We want to add some calmness and clarity back into our lives. So, how can we be more mindful? And even before we consider that, let's consider just what is mindfulness. Kabat-Zinn explains it this way, quote, I like to think of mindfulness simply as the art of conscious living. It has to do with examining who we are, with questioning our view of the world and our place in it, and with cultivating some appreciation for the fullness of each moment we are alive. Most of all, it has to do with being in touch, end quote. This concept of being in touch with this moment that is here right in front of us, can be profoundly impactful if we embrace it. Instead of rushing from one thing to the other, mindlessly engaging in activities, let's slow down and ask ourselves, is this how I really should be spending my time? Is this how I want to experience my life? If you add up all of the hours that you spent this week that were mindless hours, perhaps even hours that you consider wasted, would you wish you had those hours back? If this was your last week on this earth, would you wish you had spent those hours differently? The good news is, you can experience your life differently, right here and right now. And you can do it without changing a single thing except for how you are experiencing it, how you are perceiving and reacting to the world around you. Reading this book is a great first step towards increasing your mindfulness and ensuring that you are fully present right here, right now. Big thought number two, practicing mindfulness. Simple, not easy. Quote, mindfulness requires effort and discipline for the simple reason that the forces that work against our being mindful, namely our habitual unawareness, are exceedingly tenacious. End quote. Being more mindful sounds so simple, doesn't it? But as Kabat-Zinn emphasizes, it is simple, but it isn't easy. We have to really work at being mindful. Those chattering voices in our head, the ever-growing mental to-do lists, the incessant demands from others, and the pinging, dinging, and ringing of various text, email, and phone notifications make it pretty darn difficult to be mindful. Yet anyone who has experienced even 1 minute of authentic mindfulness would agree that the rewards are well worth the effort. Kabat-Zinn explains that it helps us see more clearly and better understand certain areas of our lives that we might need to take a deeper or different look at. It can also highlight the emotions that we are being called to deal with, perhaps sadness, anger, or fear, and help us move beyond these blocks into a state of greater freedom and joy. As we learn in the other book this month, Living in the Light, be sure to check out that life note too, it becomes so much easier to tap into our own inner voice and guiding intuition when we are more mindful. We can spend more time considering the bigger picture, our dreams, our visions, and our specific goals, and less time living in the fear and uncertainty of autopilot. We can learn to consistently hone our focus onto what matters most. The truth is, you're probably not going to be convinced of the merits of mindfulness until you practice it for yourself, until you have the real aha realization of what mindfulness can do for you in your own life. One important action that you can take to be more mindful is integrating the daily practice of meditation into your life. This is where the author has tremendous insight and expertise. We'll be reviewing that in just a moment. A key point here is that being more mindful is, in fact, a practice. It's all about the journey, and there really is no destination except for this very moment and the next. And the next. So, is practicing mindfulness simple? Yes. Is it easy? Definitely not. But is it worth it? Absolutely yes. Big thought number 3. Doing non-doing. Purposeful stillness. Quote, when Thoreau says, "It was morning, and lo, now it is evening, and nothing memorable is accomplished." This is waving a flag in front of a bull for go-getting, progress-oriented people. But who is to say that his realizations of one morning spent in his doorway are less memorable or have less merit than a lifetime of busyness lived with scant appreciation for stillness and the bloom of the present moment? End quote. There's another great quote by Henry David Thoreau where he says, "It's not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about?" That quote ties in nicely with the one we've just heard. We're often so busy that we don't really consider the worthiness of what we're so busy about. In fact, it seems like we associate busyness with some sort of mental badge of achievement that says, if I'm super busy, that must mean that I'm successful. I'm a person in demand, and I'm keeping myself in check by filling my life to the brink. In fact, we are often so much in demand that we can't even make it through dinner with our family without answering our phone or checking our emails and texts. So busy working to pay for that new boat that the boat hasn't actually touched the water in the past 2 years. So busy cleaning up after our kids that we don't take time to actually play with our kids. So ask yourself, what are you so busy about? Even though few of us can go live in peace in the woods like Henry David Thoreau, each of us has the opportunity to make the most of each of our moments, whether they be in mindful activity or in mindful rest. The key is to strengthen our ability to be present-minded, to fully inhabit this current moment and bless it with our gift of total awareness. We have to learn to balance doing and non-doing, and to experience them both in mindfulness. But for most of us modern humans, the priority should be on learning how not to do, how to get still and find inner silence. Kabat-Zinn further explains that non-doing is not the same thing as doing nothing. He writes that, quote, consciousness and intention matter here. In fact, they are key, end quote. So when you sit down to meditate, you are having an inward experience and are being purposeful about stopping your activity and being still. You are observing the tendency to run in every direction, and instead of following those impulses and reacting to your ideas, you are peacefully watching yourself in a non-judging way. You are staying still and quieting your inner world, not through force, but through acceptance. Unless you are deliberate about making time for this stillness, it's likely that it won't happen. So really consider creating strategies for building this into your day. Big thought number 4, non-judging. Be an observer. Quote, it doesn't take long in meditation to discover that part of our mind is constantly evaluating our experiences, comparing them with other experiences, or holding them up against expectations and standards that we create, often out of fear. Fear that I'm not good enough, that bad things will happen, that good things won't last, that other people might hurt me, that I won't get my way, that only I know anything, that I'm the only one who doesn't know anything." End quote. We all have that little voice in our heads, the one that's chattering all the time. Usually, it's not a very kind voice, is it? It's much more likely to be a critical, judging voice. It tells us that we're incompetent, lazy, unwanted, not good enough, or whatever other fears of the day it's reflecting. Whatever your own personal inner dialogue, it's pretty likely that the voice in your head is not cheering you on and telling you how amazing you are. When meditating, this inner voice also can be very judgmental. Kabat-Zinn writes that, quote, "When you dwell in stillness, the judging mind can come through like a foghorn. The voice can say, 'It's not working for me. I'm no good at this. I'm no good, period.'" End quote. So part of the practice of meditating is learning to be an observer, rather than falling prey to that critical and incessant inner voice. Rather than trying to stop the judgmental voice, we should just recognize it, just witness it, observe the reaction you want to have, but instead of having it, just watch yourself. As we learn to have this non-judgmental attitude in meditation, it very quickly carries over into our everyday lives. We can then, quote, "act with much greater clarity in our own lives," end quote, once we are able to add that layer of observation into our thoughts and reactions. Big thought number 5, meditation practice, tips and techniques. Quote, "Your breath teaches you that not only does unawareness go with the territory, it is the territory. It does this by showing you over and over again that it's not so easy to stay with the breath even if you want to. Lots of things intrude, carry us off, prevent us from concentrating. We see that the mind has gotten cluttered over the years like an attic with old bags and accumulated junk." End quote. Meditation is a key way to increase your mindfulness. The author devotes an entire section of the book to various techniques and tips that will help you in your meditation practice. Let's touch on a few of his great suggestions here, and be sure to check out this month's article, 108 Ways to Deepen Your Meditation Practice. Kabat-Zinn's first tip for meditation: make it a daily practice. It's important to commit to a regular practice of meditation, ideally daily. Kabat-Zinn encourages you to set aside even 5 minutes a day to start. If you can manage longer, great, but the important part is to create the habit. There is an old Zen saying, "Meditate for an hour every day unless you are too busy. In that case, meditate for 2 hours." The length of time here isn't important. What's important is that you start with what's manageable and you make it happen. If you're too busy for even 5 minutes of meditation, then you need it more than anyone. Focus on the breath. Quote, "Use the breath as an anchor to tether your attention to the present moment." End quote. Focusing on your breath helps you return to present when your mind wanders. The anchor analogy is a great one. When you use your breath as an anchor, you can stay centered and focused. Remember not to judge yourself by being self-critical if your mind wanders. There's no reason to feel frustrated. Meditation is a practice, so just keep practicing. Loving kindness meditation. In a world full of me, 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 practicing loving kindness meditation can be a tremendous way to break the self-centered pattern. This practice involves thinking of someone and then, quote, "simply holding them in your awareness, honoring them, wishing them well, and opening to their pain with kindness and compassion and acceptance," end quote. Imagine if everyone took just a few minutes a day to practice loving kindness meditation. What a different world this would be. There's a wealth of information and specifics on meditation practice options and techniques in the book. Be sure to check out that great information to begin or deepen your own practice. Big thought number 6. Wherever you go, there you are. Breaking patterns. Quote, The romantic notion is that if it's no good over here, you only have to go over there and things will be different. If this job is no good, change jobs. If this wife is no good, change wives. If this town is no good, change towns. End quote. What we often fail to realize is that even if we do change jobs, towns, or spouses, our problems often follow us because we're still the same. We are the common denominator. As Kabat-Zinn writes, you're still carrying your head and your heart with you. Have you ever had a friend who keeps dating the same type of guy, repeatedly having the same bad experiences? Or that other friend who deep down hates accounting, but keeps taking on new accounting clients, complaining every step of the way? We all have certain patterns like this, and sometimes it's very hard to recognize them in yourself. Or even if we do recognize the pattern, it's even harder to break it. So what's the answer? How do we free ourselves from these limiting patterns? Kabat-Zinn encourages us to be more mindful. This sounds so simple, but the brilliance of the idea is in its simplicity. Unless we're aware and mindful of our patterns and choices, it's very challenging to overcome those that no longer serve us. Oftentimes, awareness is all that is needed to change. And, of course, loads of patience with and trust in ourselves. He writes that, quote, there can be no resolution leading to growth until the present situation has been faced completely and you have opened to it with mindfulness, allowing the roughness of the situation itself to sand down your own rough edges. In other words, you must be willing to let life itself become your teacher, end quote. Are you ready to tackle your own patterns that are no longer serving you? The next time you find yourself feeling frustrated or angry at that same situation that frustrated you last week or the week before, try to pause and take a few breaths. Find awareness amidst the stillness. As Kabat-Zinn reminds us, you cannot escape yourself, try as you might. So rather than trying to escape yourself, just focus on where you are right now. Because wherever you go, there you are. So there we have it, Jon Kabat-Zinn's guide to increasing mindfulness, fully inhabiting the moment, and discovering true and lasting fulfillment. We hope you found it valuable and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.